No, thank you guys. We really appreciate you. And the kingdom is family. Okay, I'm going to talk about the kingdom. The kingdom is family. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came to represent the heart of the Father. I talked a little bit about that last night. And just picking up on just a little bit of who we are and what we're here for, the scripture for us is to stir one another up for love and good works. That's what we're here for, to just encourage and call out the gold and tell people you've got this and you are able, because we're able to do things that we never thought we'd do because the Holy Spirit, God's power is working in us, isn't it? God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine through his power at work in us. And so if people are having a bad day, just give them a hug. Don't judge them. Don't give them a hard time. Give them a hug. Love them. And that's what the beautiful thing about community, isn't it? We can walk alongside people in the hard times, in the good times, and we can help people realize who they are and what they're here for. So just with what Donna was saying, you know, share your stories. Your story will help someone else on their story. And our testimonies will change people's perspective, because we're here to tell the world how good God is, basically. And that's a whole other message. But I want to speak on your kingdom come. I don't know about you. I think there's a few people a similar age to me. I went to a Church of England middle school where we got to pray the Lord's Prayer in assembly, the good old-fashioned one. And I just want to make a little aside. There's the prayer in the Church of England prayer book has got the word "forgive us our trespasses," but in the original language, it's "forgive us our debts," and as we forgive those we have debts against. And so, and that's it's the anniversary of William Tyndale being executed for translating the Bible, would you believe, just recently. 1526 was when he translated the Bible and got into trouble with religious people for making it available for people like you and me. So we celebrate that man of God and we bless his name. And that's that older style of English that we're familiar with that we don't use very often. I'm very keen not to use too many oldie worldy language. We want to make what we say as accessible as possible, but I'm just going to read the Lord's Prayer because it's powerful and potent. And our Father, I'm going to use this one, who art in heaven, you can join in if you like, hallowed be my name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I just like to make a comment about your golden table over here with the showbread. It's a representation of what was in the tabernacle of Moses. If you've ever looked at that, I started speaking about that a bit yesterday. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. There's a place to wash your hands, to be cleansed. There's incense burning that represents the glory of God. And there's showbread on the table, 12 bits of cake, basically, on the table. So well done. It represents God's provision and also his presence. And there we go. In fact, in that tin, there are 12 cakes. I thought that's amazing. Because one for every tribe, that's what it's representing. So God's provision as your people. So this is just a sign of abundance, really, and enjoyment, and family, and feasting. So I just wanted to make that little aside. But so when Jesus was praying, this is the prayer that the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray, they say, didn't they? And they didn't say, we've seen you multiply fish and food, show us how to do that. They didn't say, he did all these miracles, show us how to do that. They came to him and said, can you teach us how to pray? Because they recognized in Jesus a rhythm of life that was time alone with the Father in communion, praying. He walked the unforced rhythms of grace. And then time when he went out and he taught and he ministered and he embraced the leper, the unclean. He brought the kingdom. See, in the old covenant, if you touched an unclean person, you yourself became unclean. Does that make sense? And so you'd have to go through the law of Moses, you'd have to go through routines and rituals, you have to show yourself to the priest to be cleansed and declared and all of that thing. So the woman with the issue of blood, she was considered an outcast and unclean. Lepers were considered outcasts and unclean. And Jesus would go up to a leper and hug them. And what he carried released healing into them. He didn't become unclean, he cleansed the unclean. And that's the kingdom of God, right? That's the transformative power of God's kingdom on earth. And I had this idea when I was little. I went to Sunday school and we had these pictures of beardy God sitting on a cloud. And you think that wasn't really very helpful. But my idea was that far off in the future, I would meet God. And now, you know, I kind of got to know the Lord. I said yes to Jesus. I got my barcode on my backside. So when I got to heaven, boop, you can come in. Boop. And that was it. I was done, right? Yeah, I've got my barcode. I'm all good. And Jesus, so look, some people, not you obviously, but some people think that all we're here for is to get to heaven. And Jesus came to say, let's bring heaven to earth. You know, Bill wrote a magnificent book, didn't he? When Heaven Invades Earth. And there's testimonies in there that should encourage and excite us to go, that which has happened before, God will do again. Every testimony is an invitation for repetition.
Yeah.
So tell your stories. And if you haven't got your own story, tell someone else's until you have your own story, and then you can tell those. We always say, steal a testimony, borrow it, and just use it. Because God's stories are good stories. And so I had this idea that God was far from the future. And we pray this prayer, oh God, who art in heaven, over there somewhere, not quite sure exactly where. Didn't realize that actually God is right here, right now. And so when we're calling heaven into our circumstances, we're saying kingdom of heaven come and will of heaven be done in my life, in my family. So I'm going to get emotional just because there's stuff that you don't know that is quite hard, but God is good all the time. So we're calling that the bounty and the fullness and the purity and the provision of heaven into our situation. So if you don't know what to pray, just pray, kingdom of heaven come, will of heaven be done. Amen. How is it now? Are you any different? What's going on? Follow up. And so more than ever, we need to release the kingdom. We're carriers of the kingdom. Jesus demonstrated the kingdom. He taught about the kingdom. His most important message, if you read Acts 1, he spent 40 days coming and going with the disciples. Just one verse saying, and he spoke to them about the kingdom. Isn't that the most frustrating verse in the Bible? What did he say? You know, I want the manual, don't you? I want to go to that conference. I want all the notes. And but the answer to that is, read through Acts, study what the apostles did, look at what they did, because the kingdom message was resonated in their hearts and they reproduced it. So there was evangelism, there was courage, there was boldness, there was transformation. Some of these unschooled disciples went and spoke with the masters of the law, the experts in the law, and they said, oh, you've been with Jesus. Something about them transformed because they've been with Jesus. So your kingdom come and your will be done. So the kingdom is the king's domain. It's where Jesus rules and reigns. And anywhere where he doesn't rule and reigns is a place where darkness can encroach, where the he who shall not be named has influence. And the enemy, the devil, Satan, that's the only time I mention his name. Don't even like to talk about him. He doesn't deserve my attention.
Absolutely.
And the reason why he fell is because he wanted to be like God. And there's ideology that's being communicated into our young people that is, do whatever you want, live however you want, you know, you can be like God. Doesn't that sound a bit like what Donna was talking about yesterday, for those that were here, the serpent in the garden? And God's question, when you're believing a lie, you need to ask the question that God asked. If someone's kind of a bit off, you just say, who told you that? Who told you you weren't worthy? Who told you you weren't good enough? Who told you you couldn't do that? Those are the questions, because it just brings righteousness into the place of a lie. And as we come to Jesus and as we hear his voice, all the lies will fall away, and then all you're left with is his truth. And when he speaks from the heart of the Father. The king's domain is where he rules and reigns. It's his authority. And so, you know, the encouragement is that to ask yourself the question, is there any area of my life where I don't feel like Jesus is Lord? Because that's kind of what we do when we say yes to Jesus, isn't it? It's like, I want to make you Lord of my life. Forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. Thank you for what you did on the cross. I ask you to come to my life and you can drive, apart from when I want to. No, I've got this. I can do it. And then you kind of crash. You go, oh, no, I got it wrong. I'm going to back off. Please, let just lead the way. Show me the way. See, humility is a powerful and potent part of being a follower of Jesus. And I always like to say, with great humility comes great authority. Nicking the line from those that have watched Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. But I think as you humble yourself before the Lord, in James it says that God opposes the proud. He puts roadblocks and stumbling blocks in the way of the proud. And pride comes before a fall, as from Proverbs. but God gives grace to the humble. He enables the humble. He makes a way for the humble. He clears the path for the humble. Jesus said, sit at the bottom of the table and you will be called forth. It's not like, oh, I deserve to sit at the head of the table. It's Jesus will make a way, always. So the kingdom is where he rules and reigns. And Jesus instructs us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Jesus is described as the righteousness of God. So seek first his kingdom and Jesus. And everything else will fall into place. It's really simple. And I've said this a lot, and I may have said this last time I was here, that the greatest commandment is still the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And Jesus, when he was trying to be caught out by these experts in the law, you know, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, quoting from Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Basically, love him with every fiber of your being, completely, wholeheartedly, and passionately. Give him your adoration. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And so there's an onus on us to love ourselves well. Because if you love yourself well, you'll love your neighbor well. And you guys model that beautifully here. There is love in this house and it's beautiful. It's family. It's kingdom. Wholeheartedly. And I like this. Can you see this? It's the word impossible, but there's a good pair of scissors slicing through the... Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too difficult for him. There's that conversation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. No, he is able to do the immeasurably more. And we're intrinsically linked to Jesus. So we come against a situation that in our own strength, well, this is impossible. Like, great. It's an opportunity for God to show himself strong because the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro to find those in whom he can show himself strong. Are you ready? Are you looking? It's like, have you got a big target here? And we once did a worship conference we called Flammable. You know, if you're flammable, you're easily set alight. There are some people, are damp squibs, aren't they? They're, it doesn't matter how much fire you throw at them, they go, you know, their cynicism or their rejection or their whatever, or just, you know, it will take a lot. You have to get the paddles out and go, clear! And God does that sometimes. We've been in meetings where the fire of God comes. Perhaps today, even today, Lord, even today, send your fire, ignite us. Stir us up. See, God doesn't snuff out a smouldering wick, does he? He doesn't tear off the bruised reed. I love that illustration. The heart of the Father is to repent. We've got one of those, I don't even know what it's called, those plants with the big green leaves and they turn into fingers and that. And somebody here will probably know what that is. And one of those like falling over and snapping. And I just got some tape and I wrapped it round and it's survived. You know, that whole branch with all these leaves on because it got knocked. You see... Did I pray?
Be healed.
Be healed in Jesus' name. Bless your plants. They feel it. I've got a whole story there, which I won't get into. You can ask me afterwards. about the origination of the lie detectors. So come ask me that question later, because I haven't got time. And so if you feel like a smouldering wick, you know, a candle that's, it's almost, you know, there's a breath from heaven. When Jesus breathed into Adam, it brought life, didn't it? The same breath that breathed life into Adam is breathing. You know, the word of God has gone forth and it hasn't come back. It will never come back void. When God speaks, it activates. So when God breathes, when he exhales, it brings life. You know, when we start a fire, it's like, you get it going, and then you put that with the bigger. You start small and build. And Friday night was the beginning of a fire burning in Tonbridge for nights of worship. Yeah, what a privilege to be part of digging a trench, you know, and putting a flag in the ground, just saying we're here for Jesus. We're going to declare into the unseen realm. Worship is warfare. Worship is a plow. Praise is a plow. Sometimes you plow the ground, sometimes you harvest. But when you release this, the name of Jesus, stuff changes in the atmosphere. The enemy hates it. Anyway, let's talk about worship all day long. It's my favorite subject. There is no lack in the kingdom. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not
want.
Which means everything I need is with Jesus, the good shepherd. God is a God of abundance. More than enough. There's always more than enough. He's everything you need. And even when he did that unusual thing with his disciples and said, you need to drink my blood and eat my flesh. Like, we've become cannibals now. That would have, their brains would have tilted. Seriously. And a lot of people went, I don't get it. That's weird. I'm going. And then Jesus spoke to the disciples. What about you? Are you going? And the divine answer came, who else has the words of life? So even when God speaks or Jesus speaks, or the Holy Spirit speaks, and it doesn't make sense here, we need to go, I'm just going to let that soak in. Let it do the 18-inch journey into your knower, where you know things, into your heart, into your understanding. And more than ever, Lord, just release a spirit of wisdom and understanding and discernment among us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I'm not going to get very far through this message, I feel, but it will be good. Could be a part two. So I was in hospital recently. It was a bit random. I was just really sick and nobody knew what was going on. But whilst I was lying on my bed, I've got a kind of dramatized version of the Bible. So I listened to Matthew a few times just through and through. And it just something struck me right at the beginning. So when John the Baptist comes, you know, preparing the way as prophesied, says in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And Jesus used the exact same phrase, you know, after John had been put in prison and there was some confusion what was going on. When he left, he'd gone to Capernaum, hasn't he? By the Sea of Galilee. And he came out and the first thing he says is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And other translations say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we say, where's your hand? The kingdom of heaven is right here. Because this isn't just my hand. Because Christ lives in me, the hope of glory, as he lives in you. So there's a hand with a hole in it. There's the hand of the Father, there's the hand of the Holy Spirit. So when it says in Scripture, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, I like that word as well, because it doesn't place a demand on us for everything to happen like that. Because sometimes it's a recovery. It's a recovery. They shall recover. So it can be gradual. But we've seen accelerated healing happen, and that's a beautiful thing. And that's a good thing to pray for. You know, your natural body, do it, but do it faster in Jesus' name. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And people use the word repentance or repent is like, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you need to repent. And that's kind of true, but it's not what Jesus was talking about. Because the word repent, as you all probably know, and I'm just reinforcing the truth for you, is metanoia, which means change the way you think. think differently about what's going on. And then Jesus demonstrated, the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he prayed, your kingdom come. So when we're praying your kingdom come, we want that which is part of heaven to be manifested on earth. And I've been saying this a lot recently because I'm getting a bit frustrated with social media, is that all these people that have an opinion about something, but there's no love in it, there's no grace in it, there's no decency in it, it's just anger and judgmental words, and it's not graceful. And a lot of these are Christians going boo about this, and Trump's bad, and this is awful. It's just not, we're not here to do that. We're here to manifest something other than an opinion. Yes. Manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen? Yes. So repentance isn't that a superficial regret, because some people like, oh, God's grace is infinite. I can live how I want to, and I just go back and go, I'm sorry. That's not repentance, not fruit of repentance. Repentance is changing the way you think. So you might be on a road to destruction. You get someone's talking to you and telling you, or your mother's praying for you and calling you into the kingdom. You get to a point where you suddenly realize, I'm going in the wrong direction. My life is going, I'm going to have a crash or something. And you go, oh, I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm going to change the way I think about that. And I want to turn around and I want to go towards Jesus. And then the fruit of repentance is walking that journey out. So it's not, oh dear, never mind, I'll say sorry to Jesus. It's a fundamental, life-altering change of heart and mind and action. It's an absolute decision to live wholeheartedly for Him, inviting the Holy Spirit to baptize us and fill us so that Jesus becomes the King. So His kingdom rules and reigns. He's Lord over every area. So nothing hidden. And if I can encourage each one of us more and more, we just need to not have any areas that are no-go areas, if I can put it like that. You need people. It's not, don't blab your, you know, don't vomit on people and all the things that are going on in your life. I've turned up at people, for a meeting with Tyson, they came up to me and said, I've got six demons. I went, well, that's nice. Is that the first thing you'd say to someone when you've never met them before? Oh, good. Okay, you probably have. We'll deal with that in a minute. It's like, hello, how are you? You know, let me tell you everything bad that's ever happened to my life. Sometimes you pray for people and they just don't stop talking. You can't have a drink if you're talking. So I'm just going to I want to quote from, Donna mentioned Charlie Kirk, and we just need to keep talking about him. What an extraordinary man. And someone posted on Facebook recently, I've been looking, but I still can't find any hate speech from Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
I've not heard him. And you watch some of those interactions that he has. Mm. You know, it's, anyway. He said this. No, he didn't say that. I've lost it. I don't know where it's gone. There it is. We need a movement that is centered around spiritual, eternal principles to make our country holy and Christian again. But revival will only happen with repentance. Yet repentance is at odds with pride. It's a good line, isn't it? Repentance is at odds with pride. And here we are celebrating a month of pride. Anyway, I can't get into that. I do have thoughts. I've mentioned this already, James 4. He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And verse 8, I pray so much. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Repentance is at odds with pride. But humility is inviting him in, letting him drive the car, asking for wisdom. You know, it's foolishness to ask God for wisdom, and when he gives it, however, it comes to you. You read something in scripture, you read a journal, you read someone else's writing. You think, oh, that's relevant, and then you ignore it. That's foolishness. So if you ask for God's wisdom, act on it, respond to it. And yeah, just to say that we were talking about this yesterday, forgiveness is crucial to walking light and to walking free. Unforgiveness is a stumbling block, it's a roadblock. And you know, Jesus talked about that. We said a lot about that yesterday, so I won't say any more. I just want to say that I even believe, I go as far to say that unforgiveness is a doorway to the demonic. And bitterness is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know what the fruits of the Holy Spirit are, anybody? The fruits of the Holy Spirit are... Donna knows them all. Anyway, let's just something. I just better move on because it's 12 o'clock already. So, when John the Baptist came to prepare the way, he said this amazing scripture, which is here. I baptize you with water for repentance. So he was running a sinner's revival. People were coming to get washed in the river to be cleansed of their sin. He was making a way. But he said, one comes after me who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mm-hmm. And the fire is the important thing, because the fire is purifying, transforming, refining, empowering. It's the Holy Spirit's fire and a lot more than that. I'm just going to quickly put this. So Holy Spirit's fire is there to purify, to refine and cleanse us. So jumping backwards and forwards, obviously, before Jesus departed for the final time, when he was talking about the kingdom, he said, do not leave Jerusalem without the promise of the Father, the promise of which I have spoken. There are many promises in Scripture, but there's one promise of the Father, and that promise is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. Holy Spirit is on us, but he's in us. So he's on us for you, or he's in us for ourselves, but he's on us for the world, or the other way around. I can't remember which one. Yeah. So, and I'm a leaky vessel. I don't know, I run dry. Sometimes I'm a bit like a car running out of fuel, need to be filled up again. It's the language in Scripture is an ongoing, active, being filled. It's not a one-off. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues now. That's it. My job is done. Scripture talks about eagerly desiring all of the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And that's another message. But just to say, going back to the fire of God, because I just want to pray at the end of this time for a fresh baptism of fire, if that's all right. Yeah. Purifying and refining. It's if you've ever seen gold being refined or metal, you know, as they heat it up and it becomes liquid, all the impurity comes to the surface and they scrape it off, don't they? And the purer the gold, the higher the carat number. And so the Spirit's fire is like that. It burns away selfishness and sin and impurities. It's those things that are holding us down. So there is a refining that happens in this fire that comes from Holy Spirit. And it also empowers us with passion. We can see the evidence when the tongues of fire came, when the wind blew, when that holy noise happened that drew people out of their houses and onto the streets at 9 a.m. And everyone that was hit by the Spirit was wandering around like they've been drinking all night. And people saying, they're not drunk as you presume. This is that of which was spoken. This is the filling of the Spirit. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your young men will, etc., etc. And then they stood up and preached to the crowd. They were hiding in a room, not sure what to do. And the fire of the Holy Spirit came on them. And then they started preaching. Thousands of people came to Jesus that day, gave their life to the Lord. So there's an emboldening, a passion, a zeal, a love, and that burning, cleansing flame. The presence of God inside us is what people are longing for. And as Donna was praying and speaking, you know, that for some people, the only Jesus they'll ever meet is you. You might just pass them by. You might just bless them. You might pray over them quietly. Or you might have a conversation with them. Like we were talking about Why is there so many coffee shops? That's where church needs to happen. That's where discipleship needs to happen. That's where you need to meet people, where you have conversations, where you need to set up, do acoustic nights and have tables where you'll pray for people and prophesy over people. Just meet people where they are. Don't expect them to come where you are. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll live courageously when we're burning with passion. And it's life-giving and transforming. We've talked a little bit when we've been here about encountering God, being in Toronto, getting absolutely overwhelmed by the fire, the love, when the glory comes, it's hard to stand. And there's nothing wrong with yielding. Yield and surrender. A surrendered life is a passionate life. A surrendered life is a humble life. A surrendered life is a worshipper's life. I surrender all, as the old hymn goes. I surrender all. Change the way you think, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And this fire is not destructive. It's life-giving, it's transforming, it's refining, and it brings holiness, and we become burning ones with our heart on fire. Those guys that walked along the road to Damascus were talking to the Lord, and they didn't know who he was, and it was only when he broke bread that recognition came, and then Jesus suddenly wasn't there anymore. And they said, were our hearts not on fire? Were we not burning when he was talking? And that's what happens when we come near to him. And fire falls on sacrifice. So let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, I will draw to a close, but I want to pray. And you kind of think, well, what's the kingdom for? Why are we here? Read Acts 10:38. It's like every time the clock comes around, if you've got a digital clock, it's quite nice. There are certain scriptures that go boop. Oh, it's 10:38. That reminds me of Acts, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he is with us in exactly the same way. And the phrase we used to say at Bridge, which was the church we pastored in Southampton, often became, was we follow Jesus to become like Jesus, to do the things that Jesus did. And Jesus said, even greater things than these you shall do, which is the impossible, right? It's possible now. There's no im anymore. Just possible. Everything is possible. We say nothing is impossible. It's double negative. So all things are possible for those who believe. So help me think about the story of the man with the boy that had an afflicting spirit, was thrown in the fire, he tried to kill himself, and the disciples were there, and for whatever reason they couldn't sort it out. And Jesus came down from the Mount Transfiguration, and the Father said to him, if you're willing, you can heal my son. And Jesus released the kingdom into that child, and he was made whole. But the Father was saying, if you believe, Jesus asked the question, if you believe. And he said, I do believe, but can you help the bit that doesn't? Oh, I like to say it like this. I believe, help my unbelief. It's basically, can I borrow some of your faith? Because if he is the author and perfecter of our faith, isn't he? And it's the faith that shifts the atmosphere. So I believe, help me believe even more, is another way of putting that. So we follow Jesus to become like Jesus and do the things that Jesus did and even greater. Yeah, amen. Amen. Let me pray. I love that Brandon Lake song, Rest on Us. Yeah. It's like every now and again you hear music or songs that are words that you pray yourself. And I'd often pray, hover over us as you hovered over the waters of creation. And there's a vibration in that hovering. And so I want to release that over us. Holy Spirit, would you hover over this room? Would you come inhabit this place? Draw near to us as we draw near to you. And Lord, we are asking for the baptism of fire, a fresh baptism of fire in Jesus' name. Brood over us in the same way you brooded over the waters of creation. Your wings of healing, your wings of covering, your wings of anointing. And I pray, Lord, that we would become more aware of how near you are. We often use unhelpful language like God turned up. You know, well, he's everywhere all the time, but God did something and we became aware of it. So, Lord, open our eyes, open the eyes of our heart to see. We want to see like Jesus, because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So I bless our eyes, our spiritual discernment, to become aware of what you're doing and how you're doing it and what you're saying. So come rest on us, Holy Spirit. Come rest on us. And Father, I ask you would send angels on assignment in this moment into this room. Your angels strengthen, your angels equip, your angels refresh, Lord. They bring the wind of the Spirit and they bring the fire of the Spirit. And I pray for that amongst us now. As we lean into you, we lean not on our own understanding, but we lean on your wisdom and your revelation. And I pray that you would strengthen us, you would deliver us, you would bring freedom today, that we would experience your goodness, Lord, in the land and the living, in the here and the now. Release your goodness among us. Pour out your mercy upon us as we give you glory, as we give you honor. Let your mercy fall on us and fill our hearts, I pray, with love and kindness, because your kindness leads us to change the way we think. And if there's any confusion, any doubt, Lord, I pray those doubts and those fears would be removed and you would replace it with your light and your love and your truth in Jesus' name. And I pray for anyone that feels a little bit bruised or a bit smoldering, that you bless those bruises to be healed in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, your fire would come and ignite those that are smoldering. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up with passion for your name. Stir us up to become burning ones. Stir us up with desire and hunger to know you more and to release your light and your life. And I pray, Lord, as you release your light, you would shine lights into any areas that we've kept hidden. And I pray in the coming days we'd find a time and a place where we can just speak to one another, bless one another, confess and be healed, just as your word says, that there would be no darkness, nothing hidden, and that we would become, that in your righteousness revolution, you'd create righteousness and purity in our hearts. Lord, I speak that over us, that this season, this year, where you've been doing it since the beginning of the year, that your righteousness revolution would continue, and those that are searching and hungry, we'd cross paths with them and bring an invitation that brings them into your light and your truth and your love and your grace. Send your cleansing fire, because we're here for the transformation of your love, for the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. And if you can, just say, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Your will be done. Have your way. Your will be done. And I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come in this place. Will of heaven be done. And Father, I pray for this baptism of fire. If you want to stand up, please do in response. This is closing out this time of prayer. Some of you have already assumed the position. You know, hold your hands out, because God is a good God. He is a God of good gifts. And one has come who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I pray, whether it's the first time or the 150th time, Lord, we want another baptism of your love. So, Lord, I ask for a baptism of fire. Let your fire fall in this place. Let your wind blow. Let your glory come down. Let your fire fall. And bring us to a place of encounter. Bring us to a place of repentance. Bring us to a place of transformation, And Lord, increase the unity in the hearts of this church and the churches in Tonbridge. Let your fire mark us for unity and for release, for increase, for boldness, for courage, and especially, Lord, for miracles and signs that make people wonder. Would you do things in our midst that make people go, what was that? And we say, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the Lord of Lords. That's the King of Kings. That's the Prince of Peace. And I pray for that in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would rest on us, that your fire, tongues of fire would rest on our heads. Let it even manifest in us, that we would sense and feel your fire in our hearts, in our bellies. I think for some of you, I just have a picture of the angel that, you know, like the angel that got the hot coal and brought it and touched Elijah's lips, because in that moment of glory, he just confessed, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel came and cleansed him with the fire and released him to speak the word of the Lord. And I feel like the coal of fire isn't going onto our lips, but into our bellies in Jesus' name. If you want to, put a hand on your belly, and I bless you for your bellies to bubble up with joy, with fire, with passion, with courage in the name of Jesus, that we receive all that you have for us. Hold nothing back. Let a wave of your life, your love, and your goodness wash over us. Let your waves and breakers crash over us, Lord. And let your fire stir us up. Stir us up again. Stir us up for love and good works. Stir us up in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. We say yes, Lord. One of the things that I've discovered over the years is that every encounter removes another no from my heart. And, you know, I pray that all our no's would fall to the ground. So all that we have for him is yes. A yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I bless you in Jesus' name. 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 Donna, I wonder if you could just run around. And not literally run around. We just want to come and lay hands on you, if that's all right. And bless you as God is moving among us. So just stay in this place of receiving just for a few more minutes, and we just want to lay hands on you. It doesn't have to be done through the laying on of hands, but that's what we're going to do now in Jesus' name. So Father, we thank you for what you're doing. I bless what you're doing in this place. I bless you. Fresh fire fall. There's still new songs to be released in your heart. Bless you in Jesus' name. The Lord strengthen you and keep you and refresh you and renew you. My Señor, more Lord. Lord, we bless what you're doing in this place. Thank you for your fire. Thank you for your manifestation of light and life and power. Lord, we receive something so tangible, it's undeniable. Not just like a butterfly landing and then flying away, but something tangible in Jesus' name. More Lord, more Lord, more Lord,